And last Wednesday we talked about being God inside minded. So, Father, I thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth as the Holy Spirit shows us how to rightfully divide your word. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. Father, we thank you that our answers to operate in faith the way you designed us to in your kingdom are right here in this Bible. And we can open it up and we win. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 53. See, part of the stuff about being God inside minded is to look and see what Jesus did for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. One of the things that you got to understand is he did a substitutionary work. See, he identified with us. He came down here in flesh. He took on the form of man. That's a direct identity with us. And then he went to the cross and he took everything that we did wrong on him. Isaiah 53. Hey, Ron. Is Carol okay? Oh. Okay. Isaiah 53 is where we're at. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? He shall bear their iniquities." So, he went to the cross, and that life in him put an end to everything that is natural. That is the Adamic race. He literally put an end to sickness, poverty, failures, pains, curses, and death. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that let's go to that. We'll just go there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In verse 29, it says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That happened right in that death, burial, and resurrection. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Actually, he put an end to the law. Anybody that wanted to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, when they said yes, they got brought into a whole new covenant of grace. The old way of doing things came to an end. All that was natural ceased to be in that life of his. But all that was supernatural remained in him. And he put that life in you. All that dead stuff stopped. The curse stopped. The only way the curse has an effect on you is if you accept it. How do you accept it? Here's how you accept it. By trying to be something Jesus has already made you. Trying to earn something that he's already done for you. Trying to be good enough. There's no way you can be good enough. Basically, what you're trying to do is keep the law. If you're trying to keep the law, you're going to stumble. And then when you break the law, the devil comes to you and he brings condemnation to you. And then people accept that and they say there's going to be some kind of punishment. And then the curse happens. Could be sickness, poverty, anything. But what they've done is instead of standing on the righteousness that God has given you and pleading the blood, you've taken the curse on. Amen? Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. You know, while we're still there, while we're still on that same thought, if there's ever a time when you think that God is out to punish you, or God may punish you for doing something, for making a mistake, you become law-stricken. Guess what? You know, you're not going to earn your blessings. You can't earn your righteousness. You can't earn your good standing. The only way you have any blessing, righteousness, or good standing with God is because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? You're in a covenant of grace. Now, here's the thing. Grace does not give you a license to be an idiot. See, there is a thing called sloppy grace. And I read a really interesting thing the other day. There was a pastor in Germany. They asked him how Germany got where they got. He said it was sloppy grace. Here's what sloppy grace sounds like. I'm saved by grace, but I'm still homosexual. I'm saved by grace, but we can have gay marriages. I'm saved by grace, but it's okay to have abortions. You see, that's sloppy grace. And that's not what God was talking about. Saved by grace is this. You have undeserved, unmerited favor with God because of the blood of Jesus. We receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness so that we can rule and reign over sin. Amen? We do not receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness so that we can go out there and be idiots. Amen? We do not receive the Spirit of grace so that we can go out and drink a fifth of whiskey every night. We do not receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness so that we can go do drugs and we're going to be okay. That's not the Spirit of grace. That's sloppy grace. And it won't do. It'll cause multiplied problems in your life. There's whole bodies, there's whole congregations around the country that are suffering because of this. They think because of this grace message that there's whole congregations that you never hear the word salvation. You never hear salvation preached in those congregations. Because they're afraid that they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. They might offend somebody. That's bad news because there's a whole bunch of somebodies that are going to be really offended when they land in hell. Because they didn't hear the salvation message. Matthew chapter 28 verse 6 says, He is not here. He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell His disciples. He's risen. He came back to life. Here's an interesting thing that happened when He came back to life. When God raised Jesus back to life, you got justified freely by His grace. That's when you got justified, when He came back to life. Why would that be then? Because you had to first be judged. See, it's hard for people to sometimes imagine. You were in Christ Jesus. When He got on that cross, you died on that cross too. You died on that cross too. When He came back to life, He brought you back to life too. He got you justified freely by His grace. Well, why do I have to be born again? So that you can appropriate those things into your life. Amen? So you got judged first. Everything that you ever did wrong got judged on that cross. And then you got justified. That means the debt was paid. When you got justified, when He came back to life, you got justified freely by His grace. That means the debt for your sin was paid in full. He rose from the dead. And that life of His was added the power of resurrection. And He put that life in you. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He has put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. We're the body of Christ. And we're seated at the right hand of God. That means when God raised Jesus back to life, He went up there and seated, and we got seated in Him. Spiritually speaking, you're in a very high and prominent place. You're seated at the right hand of God. Now, just in case you're wondering, when you're sitting down, you're not working. The work has been done. Jesus did a perfect work in you. When you got born again, God did a perfect recreation of you. Now look at John chapter 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." You know, Jesus went back to His Father in heaven. And He sent the Holy Spirit to come to dwell in you, so that you can have His anointing to walk in overcoming power. So today, He is seated at the right hand of God, resting in His finished work. Remember Ephesians 1:20? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's resting in His finished work, in the position of highest authority. And that life is in you. When you got born again, that very minute, you got seated at the right hand of the King, your Father. You became part of the body of Christ. Now, when you understand that, you'll be fighting from victory ground. You won't be fighting for the victory. You know, there's too many Christians that are living life under the circumstances. They don't understand this authority that they have. They don't understand this authority that Jesus has put in them. They're so focused on the Lamb that they've completely ignored the King. You got to understand, Jesus is King and Lord. They have a easy enough time understanding that He is the Lord. But they're so focused on the Lamb that they miss the King. And when they miss the King, they miss out on their role in this body of Christ that they've been given. They don't understand that they've been seated in that position of authority, and as kings, they have to decree stuff. He's given you a mighty anointing. He's given you great authority in this world. In fact, the Bible tells us that He's given us the name of Jesus to use. And at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Of beings in heaven, beings on earth, and beings under earth. He's given you authority in three different worlds. Well, why did He give us authority under the earth? Why do we need to be down there telling things what to do? You don't. But those things from down there come up here and mess with you. And then you tell them to go in the name of Jesus. They have to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. That means they get. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. If you haven't read Romans, you should. Romans chapter 8. You should just go to Romans chapter 8 and read that thing a whole bunch of times. The devil hates that chapter. That's why you should read it a lot. Because it talks about you a lot in there. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 tells us that, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together with him. You've been made joint heirs with Christ. What's that mean? That means equal standing. If you're a joint heir with Jesus, you have equal standing with him. Equal standing in the Father's presence. You know, he's given you equal authority with him. On this earth, you have authority over demons. You have authority over sickness. You have authority over the curse. You have authority in the name of Jesus. You tell that sickness to go in the name of Jesus. You tell that demon to go in the name of Jesus. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus told us to talk to these mountains. Well, don't go out there and start talking to Sleeping Lion Mountain. But you could have a mountain of debt. You could have a mountain of sickness. You could have a mountain of loneliness. Your mountain could be whatever major problem you have in your life. You go talk to that thing. You go tell it you're blessed above that. You bind it. You tell it to go. You tell that debt to be paid in full in Jesus' name. You tell that sickness to be gone. All that Jesus is, get a hold of this now. You're a joint heir with Christ. All that Jesus is, God meant for you to be. He traded places with us. He took what we deserved so that we could have what he deserved. All that Jesus is, God meant for you to be. All that he has, God meant for you to have. You're a joint heir with Christ Jesus. All the exciting things that you read about in the Bible, all the treasures in Jesus, hidden in him in the Old Testament, and the unsearchable riches in him that you find in the New Testament. All of that life of his is not out there somewhere. It's not out there somewhere. God has deposited it in you so that you can live the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. Remember John 10:10? He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. See, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. It'll take some time meditating on these things and studying on them and reading it and looking at it and saying it over and over and over again. Reading about the blessing, reading about Jesus, who he is in you. And be determined to be God inside minded. You know, that was one of my best revelations. I told God one day, I said, I finally got in a spot where the blessing is on me. I got a wonderful church. Got a great job. I got a house. I said, the blessing is on me. And he said, oh, son, the blessing is on the inside of you. You bring that out of you wherever you go. I thought, oh, okay. See, you can create the atmosphere that you desire. One of the coolest things I ever read was Kenneth Copeland had sent some, there were some missionaries that went into Central America, somewhere to this town. And at this town, around that town, all they grew was thorns and bushes and just rocks and thorns and cactus. It was just a terrible place. And there were bars and jails all over that town. Well, these missionaries went down there and people started receiving salvation. And they really got a hold of it. And they started building churches all over the place. And that wasn't enough. They decided this town belongs to Jesus. So they went to every road coming into that town and they put up signs. So when you come into town, said this town belongs to Jesus. Well, pretty soon the bars started closing. And the jails started closing. Everybody was hanging out in church, not the bars anymore. So they started emptying the jails out. But what was the kicker was they didn't just bless the people, they started blessing the land. And pretty soon this land started growing produce. And there was truckload after truckload leaving this town, hauling produce out of this town. And they told a story, they were growing cabbages that were so big they wouldn't fit into a 5-gallon bucket. These guys got the blessing. They got a hold of the blessing. They got God inside-minded. They started receiving the things that God had given them freely by His grace. And they started applying that to their situation. And the blessing took that whole town. Just ran it over. We can have that. We can have that here. These guys evidently all got into agreement with each other. One thing they agreed on was Jesus is Lord, and they put signs up, and this is His place. Amen. Thank You, Father, for Your word. We thank You for this time with You. We thank You for teaching us about Jesus, teaching us about the blessing, teaching us about grace. We thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.